So in that list that Peter had, self-control was there. And self-control is something that is very necessary to have a good life, to have good relationships, to be successful in life, to be successful in faith. And where there is the lack of self-control, it can even be disastrous. If you look at your sermon notes at the top there, there's a key text, and it's Proverbs 25:28. If you read that, it says, like a city whose walls have been broken through is the person who lacks self-control. I love that image. So like a city whose walls have been broken through. What does that mean for that city? They're defenseless, right? And so they are defenseless from attack. So is the person who lacks self-control. And it's not just then it leaves me vulnerable to attack, which I would argue too, that's directly attack from our enemy, the devil. But oftentimes we literally implode from the inside. And we can therefore make such a mess of our lives. I wonder how many of us here would have sorrowful stories to tell about that lack of self-control and the results. When I lost control of my anger and what the result was for that relationship. When I experienced a loss of self-control in the area of my sexual appetite and my lust and what I did as a result. When I lost control with a certain substance, with drinking, and all of a sudden I blacked out and things got really bad. I mean, when we lack that self-control, it really can be disastrous. And so this is something that is very needful, very necessary for us to master even, and to not just develop, but to master. So looking at Scripture, we can see then that self-control, first and foremost, is a fruit of the Spirit. So in that wonderful text in Galatians, when Paul describes what the fruit of the Spirit is, and he begins with love, I mean the byproduct, the result of the Spirit of God in me is love. It's joy. It's peace. And then he goes on, it's patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So all these wonderful things, when the Holy Spirit is in me, what the Spirit manifests, and the last on the list, but certainly not the least, is self-control. So self-control, if I want to grow in self-control, one of the best things I can do is try and allow the Holy Spirit's influence to increase in me. Because as I surrender more to God, surrender more that the Holy Spirit can have a greater impact and greater influence in me, one of the results is going to be greater self-control. I love that self-control, biblically speaking, is a product of grace. Because a lot of us think that self-control is just buckling down and just battering down the hatches and, you know, it's kind of this legalistic kind of law thing to get more self-control. But Paul explains to Titus in his letter to him that it's a product of grace. Listen to what he says in Titus 2. For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people. It, meaning grace, teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. It is grace. And so more of God's grace in us. Listen up, parents. If we want to teach our children self-control, should it be through law? Or should it be through grace? Interesting, huh? All right. And I love in Dale Carnegie's book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, he quotes Charles Schwab, who was the first American employee to earn $1 million. This is back in the 1920s or 30s. This guy was earning $1 million. He didn't own the business, but I think he was the head of Bethlehem Steel He talks about how he has found, or he found that people responded so much more to words of encouragement, words of affirmation, than harsh words. So it's true, too, for us as parents. It is through grace that our kids will be able to develop that self-control, much more even so than probably than the law. And so it is also, as we read in this sermon text in 2 Peter, an important aspect of growing into the divine nature. If we are to grow more Christ-like, we need to get a handle on self-control. Point B, without it, we're defenseless from attack, and I've already talked about that. That city whose walls are broken through, it's like the person who lacks self-control. And truly then, without self-control, as we journey through life, we're going to go from one defeat to the next. We'll be constantly beaten down and then beat ourselves up with shame and self-loathing and probably beat up a lot of others as we go if we're lacking in self-control without it. And truly, life can be disastrous. Point C, we need to be wise in our own ways so that we don't overly strain self-control. So we need to be wise. We need to understand where my weaknesses are and to avoid situations where I can lose self-control. I remember just coming into my relationship with Christ. I just surrendered my life to Christ as a 17-year-old, almost 18, just graduated from high school. And so I thought, okay, I am not going to get drunk anymore, because I had been getting in the habit of that in high school. But I thought, well, I'm just going to go to this party, though, with some friends, because I still want to be friends with them, and I just won't drink in excess. Now, yeah, I failed that day. And I was so angry at myself, too. But I put myself in a situation where my self-control was greatly strained. And so, you know, obviously the alcoholic needs to avoid certain places. But the person who has a lack of self-control with their tongue, who can oftentimes say hurtful or bitter things, what situations do you need to avoid? Obviously, if there is a lack of self-control when it comes to things on the internet, what do I need to do? Do I actually need to cancel our subscription to cable TV so that I don't have access to those particular movies that show up late at night? In other words, you need to make sure that you plan it, prepare it, so that you can avoid those situations. Maybe it's avoiding people, you know, at least until you can grow strong enough. So, point D, self-control is an important qualification for leadership. And the lack of self-control is evident in the ungodly. But it's very important for leaders to have self-control. That's why Paul, and he's listing out the qualifications for church leadership, for deacons and elders and even bishops, he says self-control needs to be on that list. Why is that? Because when we lack self-control, people can question our integrity, can't they? Because when we lose it, when we blow it, again, whether because of the hurtful things that we say or the sinful things that we fall into because of our lack of self-control, it's hard to look up to a leader who doesn't have integrity. And so self-control plays so much into having that integrity. And so it's an important qualification for leadership. And point E, Paul practiced actually harsh self-discipline and preached the need to do so. And again, I would juxtapose that text when he talks about how literally he just says, I beat my body and make it my slave so that I won't blow it. It's basically paraphrase what he was saying. But you want to juxtapose that with grace. Okay? Self-control, growing out of grace, and yet the kind of that harsh treatment. In other words, I think what Paul's saying is, I'll be brutal to myself. It's like Jesus saying, hey, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to gouge it out. He's not speaking literally, but maybe it is this friendship. This person keeps causing me to sin. I call that person my girlfriend, but and she's not walking with Christ in there. You need to cut that hand off, quote unquote. You know, what friends might you need to distance yourself from? What situations? In other words, I'll be brutal against myself so that I can get a handle on this, so that I don't keep falling, so that my self-control isn't put to great strain. So how do we master self-control? Some advice, and if you're just, I know, we just had, you know, New Year's Eve, so New Year's resolutions, and so, you know, maybe it's, I want a little more self-control so I can lose 10 pounds. Or maybe it's, I need more self-control because this addiction of mine is wreaking havoc in my life and in the lives of those around me. Okay? Either way, here's some advice for how you can master self-control. First of all, pray for it. Again, it is a fruit of the Spirit. And surrender this area of your life or these areas of your life over to the Lord. Just surrender it. Lord, I am helpless here. Some of the most powerful prayers begin that way. God, I can't do it. I am helpless. I need you. And so I just surrender. Allow the Holy Spirit's influence to increase, and a fruit of that will be then more self-control so we can get a grip on this situation, on this factor. And I put in there in parentheses too, therefore get saturated with the Spirit. And this has become almost a personal mantra of mine. And it's no longer being overworked, but being saturated. Not overworked, but overflowing. Saturated with the Spirit. Saturate your mind with the Word of God. Saturate your mind with prayer. So pray for it. Plan it. You've heard that said that if we fail to plan, we plan to fail, right? Well, if there is an area or a couple areas in your life where I have got to get a handle it, I have got to increase my self-control, well, plan it out. I mean, literally, strategize. How am I going to do this? Right? Who do I need to meet with? What classes do I need to take? Do I need to come to church more often? I need to strategize. I need to plan it. And then beyond planning it, is to program it. In other words, it gets into my calendar, it gets into my schedule. If I have determined that I need to do this, this, and that, that's my strategy. If it doesn't show up on your calendar, then very likely this strategy is not going to be followed through. And so actually, you know, I mean, getting it from the planning stage into the programming stage, and then share it. Ah, the value of mentoring and that kind of accountability. And so, who do you know who you really respect, who has that integrity, who has that maturity of the faith, who you could start getting together with once a week if they're willing, once a month maybe, every other week, over a cup of coffee, over lunch, whatever, where you could sit down and actually in a mentoring relationship, just start drawing from them, drawing from their wisdom, drawing from their experiences, and having that accountability too. I mean, it gets exactly, you know, Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12, it's oftentimes we hear that in a marriage ceremony. It's a favorite text for brides and grooms when they're getting married, but, and that's fine, it works there. Remember, two strands are coming together and three strands are better than one, I'm not quoting it right. a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Okay. All right. You've heard that at weddings. But think of it in this context of a mentoring relationship. If I am just not getting a handle on this and I want to so improve in these areas of my life, and so I'm going to have a mentor, somebody who's going to disciple me, listen to it now, that text. Two are better than one. If one falls down, his friend can help him up, but pity the person who falls and has no one to help him or her up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Ah, yeah, so that kind of mentoring relationship, the strength I gain from those kind of relationships, and the small group relationships, is amazing. As a little aside, That's something that we're going to be working on as the MLT, our MLT is our leadership board, is developing a mentoring program and trying to encourage that kind of mentoring to happen more often. So you'll be hearing more about that as the months continue. So share it, is point D, and point E is be patient. So, don't think and come up with a list of 15 things that I need to improve on. No, it's going to be overwhelming. It's going to overwhelm you, and you won't be able to master any one. But pick one, two, max three areas at a time. And just like I was trying to explain to the kids, become an expert at failing, because we're going to fail a lot. I mean, that's life. But don't let any particular failure or area where you're failing so then define you as a failure. Another thing that I'm going to be bringing up a lot in this sermon series on faith overhaul, identity, devotion, saturation. Identity, devotion, saturation. But too many times, the devil has gotten the best of us by so signaling us out, calling us out and saying, look at all those, that string of failures. You, therefore, are a failure. And all of a sudden, he tries to transform our identity and get us deep there and make us believe that therefore we are a failure. No. Let us become very good at failing so that it doesn't get at our identity, but that we can always just pick ourselves back up. I love that verse in Proverbs 24:16. For though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again. The saint is not the person who never fails, who never falls. The saint is the person who has learned to reach up and take Christ's hand, that Christ can lift them up. Seven times it can happen in a single day, and Christ will lift you up again and again. And little by little, just like a little child learning to walk, one of these days we'll not just be walking, we'll be running. We'll be that good. So I just end with those questions for reflection. Where do you need to practice more self-control in your life? I mean, is it the mouth? Is it gossip? Is it bitter words? Is it an addiction in your life? Where is it? Where do you need to practice more self-control in your life? What do you need to do in order to master this? Plan it. Strategize it. Share it. Program it. Who can you ask to be an accountability partner toward this goal? Don't wait for us to develop a mentoring program. If you know somebody, if you got somebody in mind who would you really would like to meet with on a consistent basis, and just draw wisdom from them, just invite them to have a cup of coffee sometime and start your own mentoring program individually. All right? And may God bless us. May God so establish us that we might have strong integrity as we grow to master self-control in our lives. Amen.